When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I don't have a whole lot of cartooning thoughts today, but more of promotion, self-promotion, marketing thoughts today, because this has been, well, it's been hot on my mind, and it's been something we've been talking about a lot in the Art and Story shows, both on Art and Story Live, episode 91, which you can get at artandstorypodcast.com if you haven't listened to it yet. Some of you guys, the Supreme Storyers, chimed in on a really great conversation about the topic of self-promotion. And then also on Art and Story Extreme at cvcomics.com/extreme. Where I did an episode with Casey Van Heiss of wintersandlavelle.com. It's an episode called Promo. And if you don't see it immediately on the site, you can look it in the search box. Just look for that. Just do a search for that word. And also, as usual, some great conversation in the Art and Story Forum on the subject in response to Art and Story Alive, episode 91, where people have been all saying a lot of interesting different things about this whole self-promotion thing. And as Casey said during the Art and Story Extreme episode, is she noticed that we spent a lot of time talking about social networking. Now, I take the full blame for that because I steered us in that direction. And because it's something I've really been thinking a lot about, mostly because I'm just going to say it right here and now, okay? And I'm going out on a limb. I don't know. But I'm going to express an opinion. And my and this may be something on more of the candid side for me to say. Sub note on that. As I said in the forum, I feel like I'm always walking a line on the candor thing. Because on the one hand, I think it's useful to document my feelings as a cartoonist because it helps to show other people who have felt similar things that you're not alone in this. But on the other hand, I really get itchy about letting too many of my emotions fly outside of the really positive ones, because if people are coming to the Art and Story fleet of shows and the community there for some kind of sense of leadership, not gurus, not, and I'm going to get to that, not guidance per se, but some kind of symbol of, you know, here's like an ethos of making comics, you know, in this community, then perhaps I'm doing a disservice by, you know, griping and grousing. But I, as many of you have may have noticed, I flip-flop on that. I go back and forth. I'm not sure where I stand on that. I really feel like I'm walking a line half the time, and I really don't ever want to cross that line too far on the other side to where I'm suddenly publicly throwing a tantrum like some other comics people have done. And as I've said in many other places, I just don't think that that's very productive. I think it's a spectacle. It doesn't really accomplish anything other than just, you know, boring people ultimately. But anyway, so social media has been a lot on my mind. And, you know, as I think Casey started steering me towards in that Art and Story Alive, and I regret the fact that I didn't take the bait on that and start running with that idea, is that she said, you know, social networking is sort of like talking with people who you've already, you know, forged a relationship with as a way to further that relationship, with, like, say, people who normally would just be posting comments on your site. Now you could take it and go a little bit further with social media. So it doesn't seem as conducive to self-promotion as, say, advertising or going to conventions. Or because, you know, self-promotion is getting the word out about your stuff. And most of the people I interact with on Twitter, Facebook's a different story, but on Twitter, most of the people I interact with are fellow cartoonists. And this kind of reinforces this notion that the only people reading webcomics are other webcomics artists, you know, and I know that's not entirely true. I know that. But at least in the case of Twitter, it seems like the only people I'm talking to about my comics are other comics creators. And is that really getting the word out about your work? So you know what? Even though I post links to stuff I do, I don't really like to think of Twitter or Google Buzz as vehicles to finding new readers. I look at it as what I originally fell in love with the two services for was just talking with other creators. and having like a virtual, you know, studio going on where it's like, oh, Jonathan Rector is working on this right now. And I looked at the thing that he's working on today and I get to type a little response. That looks really great. And then I do the same thing. He says, ah, that looks cool. Hey, I noticed that you do a little bit of this with your speed lines. Oh, yeah, I really dig speed lines. You know, it's a way to take a break in the day to have a brief little public conversation with your fellow cartoonists. But a problem that I'm noticing, and this is where I get to say the thing that I was hinting at a few minutes ago that I didn't say, is I'm getting kind of tired of Twitter. I'm just getting burnt out on it. And I don't know, if those of you who follow me, you may have noticed, last couple of days I started participating a little bit more enthusiastically. But for the last couple of weeks, I could hardly look at it. It was really bothering me. Why was it bothering me? Because I think that we're at least in the follow list that I need to go through and manage my follow list. I was talking with some other storyers about this, and they gave me some really interesting ideas on how to manage your follow list, the people you follow. But and perhaps that's what I need to do. But I just noticed that lately, it was a fleet of never-ending mini posts of, look at this that I did, look at this, you should buy this, hey, look at this new thing that I got for sale, hey, who wants to vote for my thing on the thing? And while I am not going to begrudge anybody their voice to, to bullhorn their project, you got to do that. It became a little oppressive when it was just a never-ending stream of that, and I caught myself saying, out loud, is like, when I thought this was a way for me to talk with other artists, when did it turn into just a bunch of people screaming at me to look at their stuff? It was like it's like when you notice suddenly when you're watching broadcast TV that there's like 12 minutes of programming and the rest of the time in the hour is all commercials of the car dealer yelling at you, come on down and buy a car for God's sakes. It felt a little like that to me, and maybe I'm being oversensitive. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. But anyway, in any case, I started getting really burnt out, and I asked myself, why am I so burnt out on this? Because I was so enthusiastic. I pushed so hard for, talk to me on Twitter. That's the best way to get in touch with me. I'd rather talk to you on Twitter than talk to you via email. And I won't go into all the reasons why here, but why was I getting tired of it? And I think that the common denominator of one of the problems that I'm having with it lately, and this is the cautionary tale I wanted to kind of underscore for all of us to think about as we think about how to market ourselves and promote ourselves and brand ourselves, for lack of a better term. I forget the term Kevin came up with instead of branding, but there seems to be a lot of people in a rush to be a guru. And the thing is, and I think I said this on Art and Story Live, is if you share helpful insights and information about your craft, there's going to be an assumption on some people's parts that you are a quote unquote expert, okay? That just happens, and that's fine. You can't avoid that. But there's a difference between people assuming you're an expert and you promoting yourself as an expert. And what's the difference between an expert and an enthusiast? Because I like to identify myself as an enthusiast. An expert, I think, is somebody who is giving information with the sort of pretense or assumption that you're just going to take it and do something with it. I'm the expert. You have an empty noggin there. I'll pour this information in and off you go, son. You're off making good comics. I don't like to teach that way, and I don't like to engage with people that way. I'd rather listen to what other people say and respond to what they say and learn something so that maybe this is me being selfish. I like to get something out of the conversations that I have, outside of respect. I mean, I want respect too, but, I don't want respect that way. And I even saw a situation where, a person I respected was being kind of questioned on something that they threw out on the Twitters. And when another person was kind of asking them for clarification on their point, they responded once or twice, but then eventually just shut off from the conversation. They were just done with it. And I thought that was kind of a shame, because when somebody questions me on something, I like to, investigate it, as I just said in the last episode when I was talking about responding to clients. And, it gets me thinking that sometimes that perhaps my attitude is, okay, I seem to recall talking about this before, but this is something I struggle with round and round, and maybe one of these days I'll conquer it, is I wonder sometimes if I'm sabotaging my career as a comics advocate because I refuse to identify myself as a guru or an expert. Because gurus and experts, they get to give you the 1-2-3-step plan in a book that you buy, and this book's going to fix your life, right? We've seen it a million times. Remember the Atkins diet, everybody? This is the thing that's going to make you thin and beautiful, and if you just follow these steps as put forth by the guru, you're going to be successful. And how many books did he sell? How many people did you know who were on the Atkins diet 10 years ago? I knew quite a few. And so that's a great way to make a business for yourself. And I talk to Ann about this all the time, you know, when I get frustrated about it, and I was like, I think about this, how I could be making a lot more money if I just were to embrace this guru kind of thing and push myself that way. And she says, well, why don't you? Cause then we could be, you know, living in a villa in Tuscany by now. And I say, but Ann, would you want to live with me if I was that guy? She's like, no, I wouldn't. She's like, I hate ethics. So going back to the original idea is that there's this rush to be an expert, I think, on some people's parts. And now I'm not just talking about comics advocacy. I'm talking about any subject that you want to pick out of a hat. I don't know what the answer is to that, other than I'm guessing that if I imagine, you know, some mythical dad sitting next to me who gives me good advice, he'd probably say, well, you know, son, you just need to ignore him. It's up to you. You could stop following them on Twitter. And yeah, that's probably what I need to do. But I do think that these kind of things are one of those there, but for the grace of God go I kind of situations where it's time. It's something that's worth thinking about to say, like, okay, I've identified something that is a behavior that turns me off. And why does it turn me off? Because the guru doesn't engage ultimately with an audience. This comes back to the whole celebrity thing, and why I really get I get hives when I start thinking about this notion of celebrity, is that's they're the entertainer, you're just the audience, shut up and listen, just enjoy my performance after all, because that's what you're here for. That seems like a boring kind of way to interact with people, in my opinion, and creepy, as a matter of fact. But so as far as I'm going to go into this more, and you know what? Actually, I'm just going to cut this topic off right here because I don't feel like it's really going anywhere. But I think that it can go in one direction that is useful, is that I am thinking more and more about, and I've been talking with Mark and Kevin about this, about starting up a series on art and story akin to the Comic from the Ground Up series. Not as much of a definitive how-to series, but more like a self-branded mini series of episodes where we really start digging deep into this topic of business, marketing, self-promotion, and start bringing people on the show who all represent different aspects of the comics industry, whether it's self-publishing, whether it's web comics, whether it's working with publishers, and look at different strategies and ways that they've gone about doing these things with an emphasis on what was fun for you to do. And let's not look at this as being this thing that we have to do where we feel like this compulsion. I think that's one of the reasons that people rush to this kind of guru status or this expert status, is it's like almost like this desperate panic to secure some kind of a living out of it as quickly as you can, instead of looking at it as building a long-term relationship where you're building a constituency who believe in a bigger idea, bigger than you. That, okay, here's the headline for me, is the idea that you're representing, can it go on if you're not there? That, I think, is a little bit more interesting to me than me being the guru, the expert that I represent all the answers, come to me for that. I'd rather sort of plant a flag and see if we can get people to gather around that flag for the bigger idea, and the bigger ethos, the bigger spirit. And then if I were to get hit by a car tomorrow, it keeps pressing on, you know, it doesn't die with me or any of that kind of nonsense. So, I think we're gonna have to start really moving forward with this business one, because I think that this is a topic that hasn't been dealt with in a way that I feel satisfied with, and I think that fits in with what Art and Story has been for me from the start, from the very first episode, is that I'm not hearing this kind of conversation going on. Let's have this conversation. So, okay, I feel a little bit more exercised. Although I'm probably going to be wind up ruminating about this a little bit more in the future. So I'll let you guys go now. Who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com. thank you very much for subscribing to this content and supporting us in this. We really couldn't do it without you. You supporting this provides me the time to think about this stuff deeply and then interact with you guys a lot more. So, I'm grateful for that. As are Mark and Kevin. I mean, it means the world to us that you guys are standing behind us and letting us know that this content has value. It's very, very awesome. So keep the conversation going in the forums, and let's start a wish list of topics that we would like to have tackled in terms of business in the forums. Maybe I'll start that. I'm not sure. But if you guys beat me to it, that's cool too. I just want to get some conversation going of what things we're really interested in and what things haven't been addressed in a satisfactory manner on other, blogs, teaching sites, podcasts, etc. And let's see if we can dig at this thing a little bit more deeply. Maybe we can take it back to Art and Story Live for the next one. Who knows? So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
It's a good thing Orko got my sword back today, or Prince Adam might never have been seen again. The rock man who took my sword thought it made him a leader. But he was wrong. A sword or any other symbol doesn't make a person a good leader. What does is intelligence, respect for others, and an unselfish desire to do good. People are proud of a leader with those qualities. So if you develop them in yourself, you could become a good leader too. See you soon.